Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi-compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The dead don't speak, but their stories do. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
Ashley Benefield, known as the Black Swan in the Black Swan murder trial. She, of course, the ballerina, sentenced now 20 years for first-degree manslaughter after fatally shooting her estranged husband, Doug Benefield, during that domestic altercation in 2020. The question was it needed? Did she need to go that extreme and pull the gun and shoot Doug Benefield? Did she believe she was in life-threatening danger in which she had to act the way that she did? The jury ultimately did not find that to be the case, and that's where she's sitting now. Bob Mata, defense attorney, joining me. We watched this one very closely together when it was happening, and we saw her on the stand giving some very emotional testimony. What's your thoughts now that we're, you know, out a bit from the initial verdict?
Yeah, I'm still in the I believe Ashley Benefield camp. I just do. You know, it's like I watched every day of that trial. I listened to the testimony. I looked at the things that were filed that weren't allowed at trial. And, you know, I thought that during the sentencing hearing, and I don't know if you had the opportunity to watch it, but that her attorney did a very good job kind of laying out the errors that Judge White had made during the course of that trial and pretrial in terms of, you know, particular rulings that were made, you know, and you kind of knew in that case, because it was a Florida case and because it was a stand your ground defense was available and ultimately denied by Judge White, that Judge White was very much of the mindset that he wasn't buying what Ashley Benefield was selling in terms of, you know, the cycle of abuse, and that at that point in time that she felt that her life was in danger. And, you know, I mean, like you knew that, you knew that because he denied that and she couldn't bring that as a defense. So they ended up using, you know, basically self-defense, which is different, you know? So I wasn't shocked by the sentence. You know, there was a lot of talk of a downward departure in terms of sentencing. Judge White had ruled from the bench that he felt that the defense did meet their burden in meeting a couple of the factors, providing enough evidence that a couple of the factors for that would allow for a downward departure to be in play. But ultimately, it's still left to the judge's discretion. So, yeah, I find that two of the factors were met by the defense. However, I don't feel that this is a case where a downward departure is something that I'm comfortable doing. Mm-hmm. So with that discretion, he denied, you know, applying the downward departure. And, you know, he sentenced her to the 20 years. And I think obviously it's going to be appealed, you know, it's just hard to know. And it's one of those cases where, you know, cause I'm very much an advocate for, you know, survivors of abuse, especially women that have gone through these relationships where they were abused sometimes for decades, you know, and sometimes when you're in it, you don't even realize it when you're in that relationship. And, you know, and you get these divides in these cases. And we had talked about kind of the parallels between, you know, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard and this, you know, where you have somebody saying that something happened and you've got, you know, a camp that's saying, oh, she's a liar. You know, she's making it all up. Now that was a civil case, so it was different, but the context of it was very much the same. And here, you know, you had this narrative that Ashley was, you know, planning to get him out of her life permanently so as they have to deal with him and she could just raise their daughter without him being a part of it. And that being the motive for her getting rid of him. And, you know, so, but the guy punched a dog in the face so hard that he knocked it out. The guy fired a weapon in the kitchen. You know, I mean, this dude was a scary guy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and it's those cases where you're like, oh, don't victim shame. Well, I'm not victim shaming. I'm just stating facts. You know,
yeah,
and like my heart goes out to her. Really, who my heart goes out to is her little girl,
yeah,
who now no longer has a father and no longer has a mother that at least is going to be able to raise her.
Yeah,
so I mean, it's a tragic case all around, and I just hope that ultimately, you know, if that thing gets appealed and it gets kicked back for a retrial, that there's some different decisions made in terms of what should be heard, because, you know, the past matters in terms of abuse cases, you know, like you have to kind of look at the totality of the circumstances in order to really reach a firm conclusion on what might've been going through her mind at that time.
Yeah.
You know, cause the way I looked at it wasn't like, oh, she's a gold digger. Cause Doug didn't have that much money. Mm-hmm. It's not like Doug was some super rich dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they had to borrow the money to open her ballet studio. It's not like he was some loaded guy. Mm-hmm. I think that it probably started as a genuine relationship and, you know, and he was an older dude and she was really attractive, and older dudes that don't have a ton of money that can't just pivot to the next piece of arm candy or whatever, however they term it.
Yeah.
You know, he was a jealous guy, man, you know, and I could see him and he was very controlling. So I don't know, man, like I wasn't thrilled with it. I mean, you knew she was going to get sentenced. Mm-hmm. I was hoping the judge would go on the lower end, like the 10 and a half years, but he split the baby because she could have gotten 30.
Yeah.
Could have gotten around 10 and he went 20. So
let's talk about the possibility of appeal here. Obviously they're going to try it. And there were, you know, they laid out some errors and there was some question about, I know, a juror in some of this. What do you see here as far as grounds or possibilities that could get some traction for an appeal with Ashley Benefield?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's going to be some pretty decent grounds, you know, starting with certain rulings that were made about evidence that was not allowed in. You know, additionally, the stand your ground defense being denied by the judge. You know, I think that there's, you know, without having the full transcripts of the trial, it's hard to know every error, but because, you know, I mean, when you're talking about appeals, it's got to be errors that were made during the course of pretrial litigation and the trial itself. But there's going to be plenty. And, you know, in terms of what their expert was allowed to testify to and not, and what he was not allowed to testify to, I think will be an issue, you know, because it's those are the things that could really have swayed a jury, because ultimately that's what it boils down to. You know, like had this particular information been provided to the jury? Could that have swayed a jury to reach a different conclusion in terms of innocence or guilt? And, you know, I tend to think that especially the expert testimony, which was allowed in part, but not allowed in total, that certainly could have affected a jury. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you really need to try to explain to jurors, if they've never been a victim of abuse or in an abusive type of relationship, it's hard to understand it looking from the outside, looking in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just like, until you've experienced it or unless you've experienced it, you know, and in these cases, when you brought up the juror, like that one of the jurors, I think she was a female, but if I remember correctly, she was actually the accused. Like that she had picked up domestic charges. It wasn't that she had domestic charges that she, you know, was bringing against, you know, a former lover or spouse or something like that. I think that she was the accused. Don't quote me on that because it's been a hot minute, but I think that that's what was being alleged as to what was going on. And then you obviously had the other juror that was allegedly communicating in real time mm-hmm. that they had reached a verdict or something like that. So, I mean, all those things are going to be brought up, whether or not any of them are going to be enough to get the appellate court to say, okay, look, you made a mistake not introducing this. And Judge White, I actually like him a lot. He's a very good judge. And he's like, look, like he said it during sentencing, if you can't take slings and arrows up on this seat, you're not in the right job. You know, you have to be able to accept, you know, that you might get things wrong. And he would say it all the time. He's like, maybe I'm wrong mm-hmm. on this ruling. We'll let the appellate court figure it out. So we're going to find out. Like, some of the issues were articulated and addressed by the judge. He's like, I'm going to rule on it this way, even though I might be wrong, but I'm going to let the appellate court figure it out. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. It's going to be real fascinating. I think it's a case where you have to understand that two things can exist. You can have someone who has been, horribly abused, and you can have someone who also then can be rather dramatic. And I think some people looked at the dramaticism of Ashley Benefield as being a sign of lying or not telling the truth, or hysterics, if you will.
But histrionic.
Which the two can happen at the same time. You can have been
abused. They're not mutually exclusive.
Exactly. And then through your scope, your lens, if you've had a partner who's shot at the ceiling before, who's been abusive, who's punched holes in walls, that volume that maybe they're coming at you at a two or a three the day of the shooting, but you're perceiving it as a 10 because you've already been through all the abuse before. That's how you got to understand. It's like a dog that you go to pet that you, but it's like pulls away, is afraid they're going to get hit because that's all that they know. Right. And I think there's a lot of that at play here with Ashley, and maybe some of the claims were exaggerated. I don't know, but in her mind, I think she believed that it was what it was.
I agree. You know. I agree. I very much think. I mean, and she's young, man.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't like a learned woman who's been around the block a bunch of times. I mean, she was really young, mm-hmm. you know, and like I've got, you know, three daughters, and, you know, you can kind of watch them as they grow older. And I've got a 30-year-old now, and you just like, there's only one way to learn about life, and that's by living it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, as parents, we try to tell our kids, give them lessons, and, you know, they're kind of like, yeah, whatever, dad, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And then some point down the road, they'll hearken back to those conversations and be like, dad, you know, you were right.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it wasn't that they took it and digested it and applied it time that we were telling it to them. They had to figure it out on their own. Yeah. And it was very much that type of situation for Ashley Benefield. You know, she was immature in a lot of different ways. And, you know, she ended up having a kid with this guy. It was a very short relationship, kind of a whirlwind type thing. And, you know, and then all of a sudden she's stuck in this marriage with this super controlling guy, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and it's like, yeah.
And do you punish that? I mean, it's, you know, it's like, would the 42-year-old version of Ashley Benefield make those same choices? I don't know. Probably not. Would most of us make the same choices we made at 22, at 32, or 42? No. But then obviously someone is dead here as well. And we got to figure out, okay, well, what sort of responsibility should be lying there? It's a lot of moving parts and probably a lot for a jury to really fully grasp, I think. And that's where a lot of the problem lied for her.
Indeed. Indeed. I agree. You know, and those, I mean, ultimately it boils down to a he said, she said, and for Ashley, there is no he said,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Which I think weighs in the favor of the state because he's not there to defend himself. He's not there to get judged by a jury in terms of his credibility, you know, whereas if this was more like a Heard Depp thing where you've got both of them taking the stand and you're evaluating who do you find more credible out of the two of them that are saying the opposite things are happening, you know, I mean, this, you only have her. And then, you know, when they're able to cast her in a certain light, talking about her histrionics and, you know, like just the fact that like, oh, she's claiming that he was trying to poison her and that was crazy, you know, all those types of things that they use to kind of cast her in a certain light. And then, you know, she testifies on her own behalf. And I thought she was like heartbreaking up there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when the prosecutor forced her to, you know, try to recreate the thing and she's just sobbing and, you know, and then you're going to have people out there that think she's full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at her. What an actress.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. That's the thing about humanity. That's the thing about this culture that we live in. It's the thing about the criminal justice system. It's the thing about trials. That's all so fascinating is that we all have our own perceptions of every single thing. None of us think uniformly with one another. We all have our own opinions and they're all based on our own life experiences, you know? So yeah, it's sad, man. It's a sad case all around.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.